I'm going to talk about today the children of promise. And there's this promise, a promise, is what family is all about. What makes a promise different from a statement? What, you know, we just did a wedding not long ago. We love you guys, and that wedding was so blessed, so anointed. But when a wedding takes place, it's not just a statement, right? What is it? It's a promise. That's where the husband or the future husband makes a promise, the wife makes a promise, and the people make promises to each other. So promise is something that starts, that creates a family. You can't have a family without a promise. Can't have it. You can't just say, well, there's no family. And the enemy hates promises. Or if he makes a promise, it's really a bad thing to, you know, promise or a vow. But it's one, it's, so I'm going to give you a dictionary definition. A promise as a noun is a declaration of assurance that you're going to do a particular thing or that particular thing will happen. For example, we are having a covered dish. It will happen. Okay? That promise was made, and we're smelling it right now. Praise God. So I'm going to talk very fast. It's on there. It's on the way. It's the quality of potential excellence as well. So if I, as a teacher, I was listening to a student sing or play the piano, or they're an athlete, I'll say, man, that person has a lot of what? Promise. That means there's going to be, they're going to be really good at what it is that they do. So a promise is an excellent thing. We are children of God, and we're children of promise. And a verb aspect of promise is assuring someone that you're going to do it. So, are you going to help me? I'm just thinking of something. If you're going to help me fix my car, I promise you I will. That means I'm going to do it. No matter what happens, I'm going to be over there to fix that car. Yeah. Or if you're going to promise to pay a bill, pay somebody for something, you do it. It's almost a covenant or a pledge. And that's where the word betrothed comes from. The word marriage, right, is a promise. And it also means to give somebody good reason to expect something. So you're giving them good grounds for expectation. A promise will do that. That means if it's a future thing happening and you promise them that they're going to feel comfortable in knowing that you're going to do it. If somebody promised me that they're going to be there at a certain time, and it's going to be a difficult thing. It's, you know, they're going to be there when I really need them. And that's very important to have that kind of relationship. Can you imagine a world with no promises? That means nobody says anything that they really mean. Nobody shows up. Nobody gives. You know what I'm saying? It's just whatever you want to do, whenever you want to. There's no commitment. There's no firmness. There's no firm expectation. That's called chaos. And the devil loves chaos, and the Lord loves promise. He loves order. He loves, you know, God brings order out of chaos. Now, we're going to turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 9, verse 8. And I'm going to show you here that in the Word of God, you're a child of God. If you're a child of God, you are a child of promise. If you are a child of God, you are a child of promise. The Apostle Paul said that it's the children, it's not the children of flesh or the child of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise that are counted as God's family. It is not children of the flesh that God counts as his children. It's the children of the promise that counts as his family. And you could say this before the Lord. You could say, I am a child of God because I'm not a child of the flesh. It's got nothing to do with my flesh that makes me the child of God. Aren't you glad? Nobody here that's Jewish in background, right? Because in the days of Paul, you had to be a Jewish person to be a child of God. But Paul was letting everybody know that it doesn't matter what your flesh is. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter whose family you're from. It doesn't even matter. Anything that you can do in the flesh doesn't matter. I'm a child of God because I'm a child of promise. Can we say that? I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Say it. I am a child of God. Because I'm a child of promise. And there was a promise made. God promised us something. He said he was going to send a Savior named Jesus to save us. And it's not based on our flesh. And that promise deals with the past, the present, and the future. Covers everything. God promises one thing. He's not going to judge you based on your past. Is anybody happy for that? He's not going to judge you based on who you are today. How many of you don't feel like you're good enough most of the time? I'm not good enough for heaven. If I was just looking at me in the flesh, I'd say I'm not good enough. Okay? In a sports analogy, you wouldn't be on the team. And then once you get on the team, you got to be see if you can get in the first place, the first part. You not just sit on the bench. I was talking to another guy yesterday at the men's meeting, and he was a great player on the team, but he was second string, so he never got to play hardly. Right? So, but a child of the promise means that you're good enough where you are today by God's promise. You're forgiven of your past because of God's promise. You're forgiven today because of God's promise. And you have a future that says that you are forgiven. That when you go to meet Jesus, if you're walking by promise, God says you will be welcomed into heaven with him. That is your promise in your future. I am confident. I am confident in God's promise for my future. Can somebody say amen to that as well? Amen. So we don't have to come under condemnation for the past. He's forgiven it. We don't have to come under condemnation today because the devil will, you know, you'll wake up one morning and next thing you know, all this negative blah, 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 blah starts going in your mind. It happens to everybody. If anybody doesn't do that, I don't know, you're great. You've got something I don't have. But you got to deal with the way you feel. You got to deal with mistakes that you make or you know, but God does not want us to live in the condemnation of the past or the present or the expectation of the future being bad. Why? Because God has promised us many things. They're called great and precious promises. Great and precious promises. Expectations of good in the future. Amen. Our response to the forgiveness of our past is thanks. Y'all put one hand up. Can you do that and say, thank you, Lord? Because I put one hand out when you shake hands, right? But you know what it also says? You can praise him for today because today he loves you. So let's put both hands up and say, thank you, Jesus. That's right. I praise Jesus with two hands. So I thank him with one hand. I praise him with two hands. And then I worship him for the future. Lord, I thank you that my future is blessed. Then you take those two hands and you go, thank you, Jesus. I love you. I worship you. Why? When you're thankful for what God has done for you and thankful for what God is doing in you, you just want to worship him and say, I'll do whatever you want me to do. That's what worship is. Worship is saying, God, I'm going to do whatever. Whatever and whenever. How do you like those words? But isn't that what marriage is about too, guys? The promise of marriage is, honey, whenever and whatever. I got it. I'm going to do it. It's covenant. That's what the Lord feels towards his church. I'm going to do whatever you need, whenever you need it. Come on. Isn't God that way? Sorry, God's offline right now. No, there's no such thing as God being offline. I wouldn't have said that 30 years ago, right? All right, turn to Romans chapter 4, verse 21. It's one of my favorite sayings, God can. Two words, God can. God is able. And every time we drive down to Greensboro on 220, there's a Baptist church on the right, just north of Greensboro. And on that Baptist church, they got that sign painted, God can. Thing is, that church is made of metal. It's encased in metal. It's got a metal roof, metal sides. So we go, oh, there's the God can over there. I always say that every time we go, right, Marianne? How many times we said that? Like 30 years, we say, oh, there's the God can. You know, if it was a brick church, it just wouldn't be funny. But with it being metal, you know, you got to say, there's the God can over there. Well, yes, God can. God is able. Look at Romans 4, verse 20 and 21. God can. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. This is Abraham, right? Speaking of Abraham. Abraham grew strong in his faith. Everybody says, my faith. God wants to go strong in our faith as he gave glory to God. Okay, so he was strengthening his faith as praising the Lord, fully convinced that God can do what he had promised. God was able to do it. Faith means God can when it doesn't look like he can't. That's when God puts you in situations and say, you don't have a lot of money in the bank, like I heard Elizabeth's testimony. We don't have it in the can. But God can, right? A truckload. Amen. Amen. God can do it. God can provide. I'll never forget the first mission trip that we put the young people on to Brazil back in the 90s. Kenny was on that trip. The second one. Okay, well, anyway, thank you, brother. But he was on one of those trips. But we had no money for missions. We did not take an offering. The Lord said, don't take an offering. Don't do fundraisers. Don't do the usual stuff for mission trips. We didn't do it. And what did God do? God got us, the team, paid for one offering. One offering for the majority of that team. God did it. It was very unusual. It doesn't happen all the time. From an unexpected place. And all we were doing is just trusting the Lord. I mean, it was, amen, I just felt the Holy Spirit say, don't do that stuff. Just take it slow. I'm going to provide it. I said, okay. Sometimes God's got to tell you to don't do something. Don't do it because I'm going to do something that you normally would do. Let me do this. Praise God. He knew Abraham had to be convinced, and he convinced himself that God can give him a son when he was 100 years old. That is a miracle. Only God can do that. God will put you in places where he's the only answer for your situation. Takes faith, right? So God is able. Let's go to the next point. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Not only God can, but God wants to do it. He will. It's one thing for God. God's almighty, right? He's almighty, which means he can do anything. But promises mean that we believe that God will do something. Because you're thinking, oh, I know, God, you can do this, but when are you going to do it? Will you really do it? Am I really the person that you're going to do it for? I could see you do it for Janine, but I don't know if you'll do it for me. You see what I mean? We go through those things in our minds. We see other people blessed, and we're thinking, God, will you do that for me? And the answer is, yes, he will. He can and he will. And Hebrews 10:23, let me get that. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Faithful means, yes, I will do it. And then moving on to Hebrews 11:11, it says, Sarah received power. 11:11, Sarah received power to conceive. How old was she? I think she was like 90. Conceive as she considered or counted him faithful. Sarah took charge of her thinking. The word she considered him faithful. See the word considered? What that means to do is take command of your mind. Take authority over your mind and say, I am not just a passing thought. That means not just a passing thought. Oh, God can help me. No, no, no. It's taking captive, taking every thought captive. Everybody say every thought captive. Every thought captive and commanding your mind to consider or to accept that God wants to do it. God will do this for me. God will heal my body. God will provide. God will change the heart of that person. God will change my situation. Whatever you're praying for, God's going to transform my city. God's going to provide this. Whatever you're praying for, you need to believe that and accept that. And because Sarah received power after she took hold of that promise in her mind. Let's go to now 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. God's promises. This is one of my favorite scriptures. It's one of my favorites. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. 2 Corinthians 1, 20. I love this. How many of the promises are yes? All of them. All of God's promises find their yes in Jesus. Jesus is the yes of God's promises. Jesus. Jesus is the yes. It's through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. So God says yes in Jesus, and we say amen to God. Yeah, that's it. So we need to see God's promises as yes. How do we see them in yes? In the Lord. Try to make sure that his promises are not something that you just do yourself. Sometimes we get very focused on behavior, like if I just do this, 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 and this, it's going to work out. And that's true in certain situations in life. You got to do certain stuff, but it's got to be in a person too, because Jesus steps in and makes it happen. He makes it happen. It's out of our personal relationship with God. And the Lord will make those promises happen in the way that Jesus will make it happen. And sometimes he doesn't do things the way we think they should be done. Can you imagine being the guy like Jesus says, I'm going to heal your blindness. All right, Lord, I'll take it. I'll take it. Anyway, Lord, I'll just get. And he goes. Can you imagine that? I've never prayed for somebody that way. But can you imagine that? But why would I let Jesus do that to me? Why? Because he's Jesus and I'm in love with him and I'll whatever he wants to do to me. Does that make sense? That's why you've got to see him and not just some promise. It's got to be in him. And I guess another way to look at it is this. I'll trust people. I won't trust everybody with a knife in their hand to cut my body. But I'll trust somebody like, you know, Tom. He's a retired surgeon, but you know what I'm saying? You don't trust everybody with a knife, right? But because you know who they are, you trust them. That they'll use that knife right. You know, Dave's been through some stuff. I know we all have been through some stuff. We've got cut. And thank God we want to be done by the right person. And Jesus is the one. If he's got to do that, then praise God, I'll take it. All right, let's go on the Holy Spirit. Look at Luke 24, 49. So we've got God's promises. Remember now, God's promises, past, present, and future, right? God's promises, God is able to do it. Number three, God is faithful to do it. Number four, all of God's promises are yes and amen, amen in Jesus. So that's where you find those promises. Don't try to get them separated from Jesus. Number five, Holy Spirit is the power of promise. Holy Spirit. The first time promise is used as a word in the New Testament. Now we're talking all together. Like if you go to the New Testament of your Bible, look in Matthew. Not the word promise is not in Matthew. The word promise is not in Mark. The word promise is found in Luke, and it's talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high." So the Holy Spirit himself is the promise of God, and he is the power of God. And the promises have power because of Holy Spirit. Luke, Acts chapter 1, verse 5. Peter got the message because while Jesus was staying with them, he ordered them, the disciples, not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. And he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with Holy Spirit." Jesus called Holy Spirit the promise of the Father. He called the baptism of the Holy Spirit the promise of the Father. And y'all need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you get filled up a whole lot. One baptism, many fillings. One baptism, many fillings. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 33, and I'll have these notes on the website, on the realm if you need them. Acts 2, 33, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit. Who received it? Jesus. Jesus was at the right hand of God the Father. He received the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father. And what did he do? He says, "He has poured out this, that you yourselves are seeing and hearing." The Apostle Peter said that the Holy Spirit baptism is the promise of the Father. Promise, singular, one promise, one Holy Spirit. Now we know that all the promises, plural, are yes and amen, but the promise that Jesus gave his disciples was one promise. He said, "I'm going to give you Holy Spirit, and if you would receive Holy Spirit, all the promises will be fulfilled." Do you see that? The one promise of Jesus will make all the promises active in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you're nodding. I want to dance right now because I'm feeling the joy of the Lord, because God has them all for you, but it's only found in the Holy Spirit. And you appeal to the Holy Spirit by the faith. Look at Galatians 3:14. "So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." So we who are not Jews, when God spoke the blessing to Abraham, we receive it through the Holy Spirit. Abraham's blessing is the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians 1 verse 13 says this, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth," everybody say hearing the word, right? "Believing in Christ, sealed with the Spirit." See the order? You hear the word. I'm giving you the word right now. So what are you going to do with it? Believe the word, but believe in him. Believe in him, because the word of God leads you to faith in Christ. It is my faith in Christ that causes me to have the Holy Spirit's seal. Because he is the word. He is the word. Just like the Holy Spirit is the promise of many promises, Jesus is the word of many words. I love all the words of God, right? I love every word that's in there, all the promises of God. But I thank you for the promise of the Holy Spirit, and I thank you for the word called Jesus. And you can't separate the word of God from him, the word of God. You can't separate the promises of God, plural, from the promise of God, singular, Holy Spirit. Praise God. He is our guarantee. Now, purity and perseverance come through promises. So we said Holy Spirit is the power of promise. Purity causes us to hang in there and get it. 2 Corinthians 7:1. This is important, guys. When you have the promise of God, do you realize that God will cause you to do the right things as you seek the promises of God? It says this. Since we have these promises, beloved, notice he says beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Just because we have the promises of God, don't think that it doesn't help you deal with your flaws and your faults and your mistakes and your sins. We need God to help us with our sins just as much as we did before we got saved. And when you get saved, you just need Holy Spirit to help you. And it's his promises that cause us to deal with issues in our life that need to be dealt with. And we all have issues. We all have flaws. We have sins. We have defilements, things that defile our spirit and things that defile our body. And we have to apply the promises of God to get our holiness into the fullness of what he wants. You know, we're not perfect in the sense that when God forgives us all our sins and fills us with the Holy Spirit, there's the sense of we haven't come into the fullness of the Father. Because we got to grow up. All right, look at Ephesians verse 6. So what God will do is God will put, Ephesians 6 verse 2, God will put promises in his word so that it'll help us do the right thing. So the first commandment that has a promise is honor your father and mother. What did I say about family? Family is built on promises. So what do the husband and wife do? They commit a promise to love each other as one, right? Then they have children. And what do the children promise? I promise that I will honor my father and mother because I'm going to be blessed if I do and spanked if I don't, you know what I mean, so to speak. I promise you, you'll get something if you don't do what I say, right? But you hear what I'm saying? It's built on the promises of God. And look at 1 Timothy 4 now, verse 7. Have nothing to do with irreverent, 1 Timothy 4, irreverent, silly myths, okay? Rather, train or discipline yourself for godliness. Why? Why do we train it? Well, while bodily training has value, godliness has value in every way as it holds the promise for present life. Everybody say, hold it. Hold it. Grasp it. Take it. Embrace it. You want the promises to be kept close to you. And training yourself in godliness will cause you to walk in this fullness of holiness. And it'll impact your future, your eternity. And then last but not least, we're going to close with Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. Okay. Everybody, great. Galatians 3:10. This is an amazing passage here. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not do or abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. When we try to just do what the Bible says, try to do the right thing, try to obey the speed limit. I just got a ticket. I was like, darn. I try. Sometimes I don't do well. What does it say? You're under a curse. I had to pay a $40 ticket. See what I'm saying? Whether it's, you know, whatever it is that we do, the way we handle people, the way we react to situations, whatever it is that we do, if we just go by that standard of the law, we're all cursed. We're all bums. We're all jerks. We're all whatever. We're just whatever name you want to use. We're all cursed. That's what Paul says. If we try to just do it that way, but what is it is? What does the word of God say? What does the gospel say? Why is this good news? Because, you know what the good news is? Look, you're cursed trying to do everything on your own. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to get flaws. But what does it say? It's evident that no one's justified by God by the law. The righteous shall live by faith. I just believe in Jesus. And I receive the Holy Spirit. And I go by faith and trust in the Holy Spirit. The law is not from faith or not of faith. It says the one who does them shall live. But Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He sent and left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. It's like, it says written, cursed is everyone who's hanging on a tree. Jesus took the curse so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham, and who is the blessing of Abraham? Holy Spirit, right? Blessing of Abraham is Holy Spirit. Might come to the nations, that's you and me, that we might receive what? The promised Spirit through faith. God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus died on the cross so that we could be forgiven and that he could deliver us the promise of the Holy Spirit. And by the one promise of the Holy Spirit, we can have the promises of God so that all the promises of God are yes and amen by us. We can say amen to his yes. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Can we pray? Amen. Holy Spirit, we receive you. Lord, we receive you every morning. We say, Lord, we want to have an intentional time every day where we get in the Word, we go to Jesus, and we say, Jesus, what promise do you have for me today? And in that Holy Spirit promise, Lord, we can receive everything that we need. And Lord, we pray today, Lord, even in this service for all of us, all of the challenges that we face, all of the good and the joys that we have, but all the sadness or the difficulty or the stretching, whatever you want to call it, Lord, the things that put us, Lord, off balance, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you have been given by Jesus to us, that we could see all God's promises fulfilled in our lives. And it's not because of our own righteousness. It's because, Jesus, you paid it on the cross and you shed your blood. And Lord, we just thank you for that forgiveness. We thank you for that grace. We thank you for that mercy. We thank you for that power. We thank you for that endurance. And we ask you to continue to supply the Holy Spirit to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.